Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 16th of June, recording at an early, for me, 5:07 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, this being Friday's audio, it's the big picture long-term outlook, but I always commence with a quick review of the previous week, or the current week. And first in stock markets, well, it was more plunge, but followed by a rebound over the last 2 days. Actually, it started on Wednesday. And in terms of government bonds, get my screen back up here, make sure I can see all this. We did see a bit steadier action, and then those rallies were fading. There were some downward dynamics in European contracts and the U.S. Treasuries yesterday. Precious metals, after the climactic plunge at the beginning of the week, a modest rebound of sorts. Ditto for the industrial metals. Energy, having dipped back under $70, has steadied up a little bit. Natural gas was strong, although it's off a little bit today. Now, where are we, though, in terms of developments here? Well, I'll give more of a short to medium term summary first on these stock markets, because I want to make absolutely certain that I convey my view and clearly in here. I think I've done that, but let me just make sure I'm once again in this audio. First, as far as stock markets are concerned, this action that we've seen over the last 6 or 7 weeks is very much in line with the medium-term correction that I was looking for, I had long been looking for, and had said would occur in 2Q and 3Q of 2006. Now, the descent was quite rapid. An initial sharp downward move is hardly a surprise, but then what happened is that central banks did lean on the decline a bit. And, you know, with a lot of tough talk on inflation and raising interest rates and so on. And that, I mentioned, did create some economic risk if they persisted with that type of action. Well, it was interesting to see Bernanke back away from that stance last night. But there's a lot of debate clearly going on within the Fed over what policy should be, and everything's on the table. Stop hiking rates, I think that was Bernanke's initial instinct a couple of months ago. Or to go on and raise rates in at least another couple of 25 basis point hikes, or they even discussed, we now know in the last meeting, raising rates by 50 basis points. My own view is that they don't need to raise rates any further, that the sharp reaction that we have seen has certainly taken the pressure off in terms of inflationary expectations, at least to the extent that they might have been influenced by what some of the commodity prices and high-flying stock markets were suggesting, particularly the commodity prices. That's what they would have been watching. The central bankers would have been watching most closely. Okay, where do stock markets go from here? Well, I did say in that piece that I wrote on Wednesday that I felt that we'd seen the biggest part, the worst part of the decline overall. Now, what does the worst part of the decline mean? Because I left myself a lot of breathing space in that forecast. So I think at minimum we were beyond the 50% mark of the decline, and in most likely we were a good deal further into the overall correction in terms of percentage move on the downside than the halfway mark. And for some markets, we may be, we could well have seen most of the decline that we're likely to see. But I have added the caveat, sensibly I hope, all along, that it would be central banks that would determine the speed and extent of this overall decline. So if they turn aggressive again, then we get some overshoots on the downside relative to what might have normally occurred or what would certainly occur if they were less aggressive and just said, right, interest rates have gone up enough now and are on hold, or words to that effect. Now, while I do feel that the worst is over for the stock market sell-off, in terms of the time factor, I think that it's going to be quite some time before we get sustainable moves on the upside. By quite some time, I think we really have to look into, well, we probably need to get to the end of October before I personally will feel that we will be in what ought to be a clearly bullish environment or increasingly bullish environment overall. It may not feel that way depending on action between now and then, but that's what I look for, and I will, of course, at the time be heavily influenced by what I see on the actual price charts themselves. Now, you will have noticed that some of the stock markets have rebounded really quite strongly in the last couple of days, and I said that actually started on Wednesday, actually. Now, as I look at the screen here today in Europe, well, first let me take Asia. Asia had some very powerful gains on the upside. Pretty much most of the markets saw strong gains. And if you look at the charts, and I apologize, I haven't posted any today's interesting charts in here today, but I know the weekend's coming up. There'll be lots of time, hopefully, for people who are interested in looking at them to have a quick scan. But what you'll notice is some overstretched downtrends, and then some, quite possibly some, for stock market indices, quite possibly some upper dynamics. Mostly yesterday and today in Asia, and actually today in Asia we saw some upward gaps, breakaway gaps on the upside. So quite powerful short-term moves. Now, if we stretch a market quite a long way in one direction, it does tend to snap back fairly quickly, in the or sharply, I should say, initially, in the opposite direction once the selling pressure abates. But I don't think that this rally has legs. In other words, I don't think that this rally can go on for all that long. I think what's likely to take place is that instead of the very big percentage swings that we've been seeing recently, we get a gradual shift. This doesn't happen overnight, but we get a gradual shift from very dramatic, quite emotional moves in the markets to a calm period, what I referred to in my piece on Wednesday as the apathy market, where we'll get a lot of ranging and just sort of generally messing about. That'll be a bit dull overall, but no bad thing, and it'll come as a relief to some of you, I'm sure. We can only take so much excitement, or at least I can only take so much excitement. And this is a be a, this will be a good time if this forecast is correct. At least we won't have to be hovering over trading positions and so on with quite the same intensity. If the market action has caused you to do that, but we have time to reflect on what is shaping up as the most interesting story. In other words, what are the best future investments here? And as you know, my plan, my long-term plan all along has been to convert some of the trading gains into investment positions, and I've kind of earmarked that fourth quarter of the year for most of that activity. So while some things have come back to levels that I really do think are quite attractive, and I certainly wouldn't want to be selling any of my core positions in here at this stage, and as you know, I decided to hold on to them and use some hedges, some asymmetrical hedges to cover me during the downside. I didn't put enough of the hedges on, or I took them off too quickly, but nevertheless, that's a partial compensation for setbacks in some of these stocks. But you know, my favorite resources positions, my favorite Asian positions, these are looking much more interesting at these levels. And you know, I had that email saying, what about some of the South American markets? Well, Brazil, that's a terrific market on valuations. Now, why not buy at this stage? Well, because I personally, and I'm only speaking for myself, I think that the apathy market may persist for a while. I think there's a possibility that we could see the central banks overreact in here, and no one can be sure how they will act, except that they will ultimately fear the threat of sharp economic slowdown, let alone recession and a return of disinflationary pressures. They will fear that more than moderate inflationary pressures, which they've been seeing for the most part to date. So an ideal market environment is that value, in terms of adding new positions, would be valuations become a little bit better, and they probably will. Consider some of the funds, some of the investment trusts, closed-end funds that are a preferred vehicle for me, and I know a number of you. Well, I'd like to see some of those discounts to net asset value increase. That could happen in two ways, because markets move lower, and also because of just general apathy. People are less enthusiastic about markets and think that nothing much is going to happen. Well, I don't see any reason, as I said in that report on Wednesday, and as I've said earlier on, I don't see any reason to change my view that from the fourth quarter onwards, the environment could really be quite bullish. And certainly, if we see a slowdown in growth, and yes, people will be worrying about corporate profits, but that will create precisely the sort of environment that would cause central banks not only to say, we're not going to hike interest rates any further, or words to that effect, and to actually commence reducing short-term interest rates somewhat. So I'm looking to do my buying mainly in that fourth quarter. Okay, what about the government bonds? You know I don't like that sector. If they rally up further, I think that will be, if they get a good rally in here, they've had a modest rally. If they get a good rally in here, for me, that would be a pleasant surprise in that it would create an excellent short selling opportunity. I don't need to say too much more on that, and I've commented on that long-term yield chart in today's comment of the day, which I will post shortly. Now, what about the currencies in here? Market steady, and we see the dollar begin to soften. If we were, for whatever reason, to get another fairly frightening move on the downside, central banks leaning on markets perhaps. So if we were to see stock markets move down again fairly swiftly, I have little doubt that that contagion would spill into the commodity sector, and as we've seen before, and was quite predictable action, and that would keep the dollar a bit steady. But overall, when you look at the dollar charts, there's a fair amount of overhead supply here, and now that a lot of the dollar short positions have been covered, I don't think it has that much on the upside, and it is vulnerable on the downside, and I do expect it to get back to those historic lows on the US dollar index down around the 78.80 region, as you know. Now, turning to the metals, and this is one of the most interesting areas to me, and I know a good many, for a good many subscribers as well. Gold and silver and platinum and palladium have fallen back to very, very attractive levels in terms of value. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to go rebounding right back up quickly. I don't think they will, actually. I think that they're much more likely to mess around, could even go a little bit lower here overall, but this is an accumulation zone. I don't think one needs to go rushing in because I've just said with all one's capital because I've just said that I think we'll get a fair amount of ranging. In other words, it's a convalescence, it's a support building process. And the same thing applies to stock markets. I've said that there's stale bull positions overhead, and that means the positions that people had put on long positions at higher levels, which are now hurting investors or causing them some concern. And anybody who's human, who's ever bought anything, particularly a leveraged position, and see it go against them, if it starts to move back towards a break-even position, they're not human if they don't think about lightening or getting out of the position altogether. So that's created some supply overhead, and then the sell-off was frightening. Any sharp sell-off is, even if you expect it, it's frightening. And that causes, well, that they say damages confidence, so the buyers become more cautious. It tempts some short sellers in, adding to the supply side. And markets usually need a bit of convalescence. You've certainly seen that after sharp sell-offs in the precious metals before, and in almost any market. You get a unusually sharp sell-off, and it's very seldom goes straight back up to the highs. It usually goes through several months of ranging support building before people say, right, they can see that the market has steadied and those fears begin to fade, and they're emboldened to be a little bit more aggressive in their buying policies. That's the type of environment I expect. But I'll end on this point where I began. Value is back in the precious metals. And on a long-term basis, I think they're going to move upwards by a multiple of today's prices over the next 10 to 15 years. And looking at crude oil, well, again, this is in a secular bull market. All the industrial commodities are. There is not a backwardation in crude. There is in gasoline, temporarily, but what would be more of a bullish indicator in the petroleum sector would be if you had more backwardations. You incidentally still have quite a few backwardations in the industrial and on industrial metals, not least the nickel market. So I think that's covered most bases, but say my big themes remain the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme, which covers the resources sector, and also emerging markets with my timing target in terms of putting new money into the markets being the fourth quarter of this year. Again, I repeat that point that I mentioned in yesterday's comment. Second year of the U.S. presidential cycle, that's 2006. Historically, that's the least bullish and often experiences some very sharp sell-offs. It's usually all over by the end of October. And if you get a down year on average or an underperforming year on average, that tends to be followed by a better performing year on average. And that third year of the US presidential cycle has historically been the most bullish. That's when the White House and Congress are goosing the economy, creating the feel-good factor prior to the next presidential election, which is a year later. That will be in 2000 and 2008. So we're still going to stay in stormy conditions, just dull if we're lucky, but expect some stormy conditions in here in these markets, and I think then they'll be moving higher. And again, I will be investing mainly in the resources markets and in the emerging markets. I'll probably shift a little bit more of that overall weighting in favor of the emerging markets. Now, I know sometimes people say to me, "Well, David, why don't you come up with some new long-term themes?" Well, my answer to that is If the long-term theme is a really good one, then you don't need to change it. And I've never been one for saying, well, let's jump out of this sector because something else might be hot for a few weeks and then rotate it on to this other sector. I'll leave that to the investment managers who are looking over their shoulder every month on a month-on-month performance basis. I like to look back at the end of a year and say, how have I done? And that's what counts to me, counts for me. And so I don't change investment positions very often. And I never have a balanced portfolio because that may create the illusion of safety, but usually buys mediocrity. I like to concentrate, as you know. So that's pretty much it for another week, except just to mention that I know a lot of subscribers are interested in trading positions that I take from time to time, and I have cut back on that activity. If I weren't going into hospital, I'd be buying a little more gold and silver, but in all likelihood, but I don't want to have any positions prior to that operation. Again, I don't want to create any additional anxiety on that. It is reconstructive. It's a big operation, but it's not a serious thing. I don't have any life-threatening problem in here. It's just to clean up the problems that were created by the last operation, emergency operation, back in April, which was bungled and left me with an large abdominal hernia, which I'm anxious to get with. Apologies for those of you who don't want to hear those details, but I mention it only because some subscribers have expressed concern that it might be something worse. And I thank you for your interest and concern on that, and I'm happy to reassure you that it's not. And I look back to getting about as fit by the end of the year, early in the new year, as well, as a 64-year-old going on 65 then can possibly do. And more next week. All the best. Have a great weekend.